The National Women's Soccer League starts. NBA playoff starts. NHL hockey starts. It's sports nirvana. This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow!
A perfect score. 10.2.
He had to the 2-0, now the 2-1. What is your
hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Sports Without Balls, fans, friends, family. That intro took about 20 takes. It's Monday morning. Thank God to the right of me, I'm seeing superstar Trish Sir.
Good morning, Aaron Foley. I sound like Marge Simpson this morning.
Aaron in the booth is a little sick.
Yeah, I'm not much better than Marge.
Yeah. We've got
Marge and her sister.
We're reporting from inside a sick bubble. I'm going to start washing my hands immediately.
Sorry.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Passover, what everybody's celebrating.
Happy playoffs.
We celebrate Easter. How was your Easter?
Our Easter was, my husband had food poisoning. So, yeah, we went to the game Friday night. He ate bad Thai food Friday afternoon.
Oh, no.
And said to me, I'm not feeling super. And we went to Mohawk Bend. If you haven't been when you come to Los Angeles, it is a wonderful place over in Echo Park that we love. And still proceeded to eat a burger because I was like, well, you're not that sick. And then about sixth inning, I could literally hear his belly gurgle over the crowd.
Ooh.
And I went, this doesn't feel like this is going to be a good out. So we waited to see if we won the 50-50.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Top of the eighth, you got to, because we would have been $15,343 richer. So I said, suck it up. And as it turns out, we were not. So, we spent Easter with Dave McCool writhing in the pain.
Oh, yeah. No. He was sick all weekend from it?
Yes, literally all weekend. And then he got on a plane this morning for New Orleans for 12 days for work. So it was not as magical as one would think.
Yeah.
But we watched a lot of sports. Well, he certainly did.
Well, that's good. That helps.
It did. He laid on the sofa and then, of course, was like wallering about the Kings. The Cavs, and then wallering about the Bulls. Everything was a waller.
Yeah.
It was like Oscar the Grouch.
Well, this is a fun time of year because it's playoffs. It's the only time I really start paying attention to the NBA. I pay attention all year. I'll see a game here. Like, we went to the Clippers last home game on Wednesday. Courtney Cronin, friend of the show.
Yes, we posted it on the Sports Without Balls page so all our friends and fans could see how cute y'all were. Courtney and her headband.
Oh, my God. So we'll do basketball first. But it's a fun time of the year because we got basketball playoffs, we got hockey playoffs, and that's when I probably watched two hockey games an entire year. But then when the playoffs start, we say this every year, it's so fun. Of course, now my Rangers, we were doing fine. And now we're down 2-1, and the Canadians kicked our ass yesterday. But and it's also the National Men's Soccer League kicked off the last couple days. And I want to talk about that because you start kind of heading into a lot of, baseball and basketball, hockey. It's like men. So, and then pre-WNBA. But the National Men's Soccer League we'll get to because that's, I want to get some info out about that because it's in like 10 cities with like phenomenal soccer. So that's always like, and it's also like super family friendly. And so we'll get to that. But NBA playoffs. Well, yeah, Courtney and I went to the Clippers on Wednesday. She was, of course, your name got mentioned 17 times.
I appreciate it. I hate that I couldn't go.
Yeah, Courtney was doing some of your, she had a couple beers.
Oh, she was doing spirit.
She was doing like part of your act, like part of a story you tell. And I had tears like just pouring down my face.
Oh, Lord, I'm frightened. I know. Is it sad that I don't think either? I've seen you do a couple shows, but I don't think we've ever seen each other work because clearly we're usually working at the same time.
I know. I literally said that to Courtney. I said, I don't know how I can see Trish every week, talk to her probably every other day, and have never done a stand-up show with her.
It's Courtney and I, and this is a slight derail, we'll come right back, but it's slightly sports adjacent. One time she called me and said, hey, will you come do this show with me in the Inland Empire, which basically is Kentucky, but still in California. So I said, sure, those are my people, not a problem. So we swizzed to this, it was literally the Accused, this bar.
Oh, my God.
In the middle I don't even know. Y'all know what I'm talking about, those scary parts of the IE that even the people in the IE are like, yeah, we don't go there. So I said, Courtney, how in God's name? She goes, I agree to do this one-nighter there. And I was like, okay. Well, just so y'all know, when I go on stage, I wear a dress. I look like Jim Carter.
I guess that's what it is. I still can't fathom that.
I know. I get very done up. Said all this to say, Courtney drags me to this gig in the middle of nowhere. I've got literally my hair in rollers on the ride because I was like, it needs to be bouncy when I get out.
Oh, my God.
So I had hot rollers in, a pair of Uggs and a puffer jacket, and my dress in my garment bag that I always bring on the side. We hit a fatality on the 90 headed into, so there we are sitting. The opener was so livid that it was a sports bar.
Oh, boy.
And it was the very beginning of the playoffs, like this time it was unseasonably cold.
NBA playoffs?
NBA playoffs. Okay. So it's a sports bar, and our set was to be done by the time the Clippers, it was the Lakers game was coming on, and it was the second game, so it was going to be perfectly timed so that we were all off stage, you know.
Oh, before the Lakers game.
I got you, okay. And so because of this fatality, we roll up with, in the beginning of the first quarter. And I'm like, well, let's not do it. Like, let's just not do the show.
Yeah.
I'm a basketball fan. I don't need to be on. So what we ended up doing was doing our set during the commercial break.
No. You did not.
In my life, girl, and I also didn't change. So I am in hot rollers, a pair of Uggs, some sweatpants.
I can't even.
I wish we'd have videoed it. And I've never done my set in 2.5-minute increments, which took an entire quarter. It was honestly one of my favorite sets I've ever done. It was like freeze tag comedy.
Oh my God.
Because
like she would go up and then you would go up?
No, I did my set in the second quarter and she did her set in the third quarter.
No.
During the commercial breaks. It was brilliant. And to this day, honestly, if somebody out there listening to us steals this format, I will come for you in the night. But it was hilarious because I would literally shush the audience when they'd be laughing, and I would shush them because the game was coming back up.
Oh, this true is story. One of the best comedy stories
true,
I've
true
ever
story.
Heard.
And I looked homeless and I did the entire thing with hot rollers. I mean, people at the beginning, I think, thought it was my thing. And I was like, no part of me wants to be seen in a pair of hot rollers and Uggs on a stage. Trust and believe. And they were like, we can't take you. And I did the whole show. Ask Courtney. It was brilliant, though. And I'll say to this day, it was one of my it was the hardest way to do comedy, obviously, because you could never get timing.
It's not comedy. It's I don't even know what that is. Like a set of crazy circumstances.
I think that was the last year. Actually, I'm not think. It was the last year that the Lakers won the playoffs. So it was the last, whatever year that was, it was the last year that the Lakers won the playoffs. So everybody was invested as Californians. So
of course.
There you go. Sorry, total sidebar, but that to
no,
me.
No, that's hysterical. Trying to do stand-up in between commercial breaks of an NBA playoff game. I don't know how, like, that's.
But truth be told, little did I know, some of those breaks were 7 minutes long. So you got out a full story. And so as soon as I'd see the, you know, NBA logo swirl in the background, as
it's like, giving me anxiety just hearing it.
Right?
That's crazy.
It was like emceeing your own set.
Yeah.
You'd have to bring yourself back up.
Oh, my
weird.
God.
And then the owner of the bar had the audacity to ask us to come back and do it again the next week. I was like, no, not even
no,
if I
we're
was
not
on fire.
Commentators. Oh my God.
There you go.
Well, we went to the Clippers on Wednesday and it was really fun. It was fan appreciation night. So like every commercial break, there wasn't any stand up, unfortunately. But there so many giveaway, like the place was packed.
And it was Paul Pierce's last game?
I didn't even know that. I, honest to God, didn't realize Paul Pierce was because he hasn't had any playing time.
Well,
I thought he
yeah.
retired last year.
I love you.
And all of a sudden, they showed clips of Paul Pierce, and he was on the end of the bench, right? And you could tell by his face. Now, listen, I appreciate Paul Pierce. I'm not a big fan of Paul Pierce.
No.
I appreciate his basketball career. But my knock on Paul Pierce from day one is if he any moment in his, he's been around, what, 20 years, 15, whatever, any moment there's a microphone in front of him, he brings up how disrespected he was at the NBA draft when he was drafted. I'm like, can we shut the F up about your, I was disrespected, I was drafted, you know, I was supposed to be second, I was 10th, I played with a chip. I'm like, I've heard this story 790 times.
Yeah, you're like, let it go, Elsa.
Just
Well, and it,
shut up about the draft.
If you think about, could you imagine if you turned that into a Tom Brady, who they just posted this past Friday was the 17th anniversary of them drafting the 199th pick in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Tom Brady. Like, if he could you imagine if he said that?
Great. But, like, every interview, yeah, Tom Brady brings it. You're like, shit. Like, anyway, so I appreciate him as a basketball player, but, like, not a fan. And, of course, I'm sitting around with Courtney and her entire family that are all Boston Celtic fans. So they're, like, living and dying for Paul Pierce.
They're crying. Weeping.
Courtney puts on her headband that says the truth. And I forgot that that's, like, a Paul Pierce thing. I thought it was, like, a Clippers thing. I was confused for a second, but I was like, well, I'm not going to say it out loud. No. And she puts on the truth. Like, I didn't want to be like, what's the truth again? And so the whole stadium, Paul Pierce gets on the Jumbotron. And the whole stadium is like, you know, Paul Pierce, like everyone's cheering. And he clearly does not want to go in the game. Like, he's just sitting at the end of the bench with his arms crossed.
No.
Like, he looks angry. I kid you not. Then teammates are hitting him. The whole crowd goes crazy. And the coach, like Doc Rivers, is kind of like, you want to go in? Like, apparently he hasn't played all. I guess he hasn't played all year. Because Courtney's like, he doesn't play. And the Clippers games I've seen on TV, I didn't even... Of course he's not playing because I didn't even know he was still on the team. Anyway,
he goes in,
and I remember earlier his last... Oh, I should have remembered that. This was this year. His last game at the Garden.
In the Garden, right.
He hits that three-point and the crowd go crazy. So I guess I knew he didn't retire or whatever. Who cares? The whole point is he goes in. It was so awkward. It was just weird because, you know, he missed a couple, which was fine. It would have been fun if he, like, you know, put one in.
Sure.
And then they took him out, like, 30 seconds later. I kid you not. He literally was in the game for, like, 30 seconds. Missed a couple three-pointers somewhat badly, and they took him out, and then we cheered again. And I was like, that was so weird.
He did a hockey shift.
Yeah.
He did a hockey shift. It was just, I don't know, whatever. Who cares? But really fun atmosphere. Blake Griffin spoke before the game. He's like, thank you guys to the fans. And everyone's, like, cheering. It was so fun.
I do not like Blake Griffith.
And then he goes out, and then they go out, and they lose on Saturday. I was performing in Albuquerque. Adorable crowd. Everybody, thank you for coming out. It was, in fact, an AIDS benefit. I was trying to figure out what it was last week.
That's right.
The Southwest Funny Fest. So thank you to everybody in Albuquerque for coming out. It was awesome. Such a fun night. So after the... After the show, we go across to the bar, and everyone's like, you know, mingling and talking. And the whole time, the Clippers game is on the bar.
It was super super close.
And I'm just watching. Like, I can't really watch it because I have to, like, thank, you know, yes. You have to,
yes.
Like, mingle.
Be glad to be there and joyful. And
right. I'm literally having a conversation with a very nice woman, right? She's telling me, okay, she's sort of telling me her life story.
Oh, Lord.
Right above her head, it is the Clippers are, it's like 95, 93 or whatever. The Clippers are down. I see Chris Paul running down the court and she's like, you know what I mean? And I was like, I haven't heard the last, I am phoning it in. Then I see Chris Paul make the shot and I'm like, yes. And then.
And he did 10 points by himself in the fourth quarter. Dave and I were screaming. Then Steve Ballmer, which, by the way, the most exciting owner in the NBA. Mark Cuban, he has replaced an Eclipse Jew. That man acts like he can't believe his eyes. Joy level is it's hilarious and magical because he's so passionate. He's like a 12-year-old. He reminds me of Tom Hanks in Big. Yeah. Like, that he has no idea how he just stepped in it and got himself an NBA team. Because he gets so dorky.
It's so cute. It's adorable.
It's so cute.
Yeah. Anyway, that's how I sort of saw the Clippers game, but did not see the Clippers game. So you and Dave watched it?
We did watch it. I was busy, you know, tending to him like you have to do. Because men, when they're sick, act like they've got one eye. They're laid up in the bed. This could be end of days. Aaron.
It's that much worse.
Men, Aaron had to take, would you take oxycodone last night? All accounts. Hydrocodone on the account of he's got a sore throat.
All right. So here's what we got. We got first round of NBA playoffs. I don't expect any crazy mishaps. Celtics lost, and Cavs only won by one. He must have been crapping his pants over that one.
Yes, it was that was day one of food poisoning sickness. In the Saturday afternoon, he was laid about the cabin, and I called to check on him, and he's like, "We just won by one." I'm like, "I'm asking how you're feeling." He goes, "We barely made it through."
And the Pacers have the ball, and they could have won it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they, I don't know. I mean, everyone keeps saying, like, you know, big storylines here, because it's round one, are Cavs shaky season, Celtics win at the end, they take first spot. Again, I just always kind of feel like this is the third year where it feels like Cavs Warriors. It has felt like Cavs Warriors from day one.
I think a lot of us feel that way, that it's going to be a Cavs. Well, look, here's the bottom line. The Warriors are tough to beat in four games.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think you've got to win four off the Warriors, it was by the grace of God last year for the Cavs. Yeah. I believe that. I don't necessarily know with the addition of Durant if we're a Cavs household, but I don't know that the Cavs are as dialed in as they need to be to make that happen. And y'all got to think about it. We're having this discussion. It is April 17th. We've got to worry about this mess in June.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Here's my NBA plan. I'll give you my NBA plan for round one.
I'd love to hear the schedule.
I'm not going to be watching like all these games because it's just too much. But I kind of broke down the games, and I'm like, here's what I want to watch. I'm going to watch one, bless you.
Thank you.
One Washington Wizards game because I want to see John Wall.
I love my Wall.
I've only seen Wall play maybe like once this year.
He's a joy.
So if you're not a big NBA fan out there, here's a couple keys. Here's how I think if you watch a game here or there, I'd watch a Washington game. They're playing the Hawks. I think they'll be able to take care of the Hawks in four or five games. I'd watch John Wall to play for the Wizards. The Warriors would be there the whole time, so just pick and choose. I'm going to just watch my sweet baby Curry play whenever I can. Celtics, I want to see because they had such a great regular season. And they lost to the Bulls, but that story, Isaiah Thomas, unfortunately named, an emerging superstar in the NBA, plays for the Celtics. Also, huge Brad Stevens fan, the coach of the Celtics. So I want to watch him play. They're playing the Bulls. They lost, but I think let's talk about that.
And it was
for a
super
bit.
Close game.
Super close game. They lost by four. Jimmy Butler, obviously the superstar for the Bulls, he kind of took over the game. Again, I just saw the highlights. I was kind of working all weekend, but I'm in LA for the next 2 weeks, so I want to grab a Dodgers game and I want to watch some NBA playoffs. But his Isaiah Thomas's sister dies unexpectedly in a car crash.
22 years old, single car accident, and they're from Washington State, so it happened just 24 hours.
How do you even play after he goes out and he scores 33 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists after his, playing for her, crying on the bench before he goes in. Like, I've got to think, that loss to the Bulls, everyone just must have been a wreck. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is, the heart and soul of that team.
When they all said, which was very sweet, all the players, they asked them individually, but they're like, we've got you. Like, don't you worry. Like, you go out and do what you, you don't have to come, but if you're going to come, we've got you. So, which was a very sweet sentiment on a team level. And, it kills you.
I feel like the Celtics are going to be fine. They'll get through the Bulls. But I think that's overwhelming. Did you want to talk about the Barkley?
Well, okay. Look, I love Charles Barkley for his mouth and the reasons we all love him, right? And when it comes to basketball, he says a lot of the things that flash quickly through our brains. He's a little bit like the Simon Cowell of basketball, where you're like, yeah, that's right, with a fun accent, terrible. But I just felt, and I don't think he did it to be, let me back into this, his comments about Isaiah Thomas playing and his actions before the game. I don't think Charles Barkley said it to, just to be spiteful. I don't think he's, because I don't think he's smart enough, to be honest with you, to do that, to plot it out. I think he just spoke as he normally does and his foot got in his mouth. And I don't think at the time that Ernie, I love me some Ernie,
He's calm.
Yeah, he's really the ballast point that keeps that ship headed in the right direction. I don't think he thought it to be as what's the word I'm really looking for? Just as disrespectful as it sounded after the fact, because I think Ernie would have stepped in and been like, shut up, Chuck.
Yeah.
But basically what happened was they showed in the pregame for TNT, they showed Isaiah doing his shoot around and then just truly beside himself with his, I believe his Avery, was it Avery Bradley, who was, you know, just had his head down in his arms. He was just bawling. I mean, for lack of a better word, he was distraught over his sister, as my Lord, you would be. I don't know. If I couldn't put myself in that position, because I don't want to have to think about it, dear God.
Yeah.
Charles said, it just made me uncomfortable. As it's happening, so they're showing it, and they cut back to the studio, and he said, well, that just makes me uncomfortable. And I thought, you son of a mother trucker, this ain't about you. And then goes on to say, well, I just think it's a bad look. It's not a good look. You son of a, put a Domino's pizza in your mouth and then go get a Jenny Craig deal and Nutrisystem, whatever you got, and shut up.
Yeah.
It was just so distasteful because here's this guy rallying for his team. It wasn't about him, clearly. I mean, even LeBron's comments were lovely because he said, you know what, this time of year we're all dialed in. This is all basketball. We get everybody on every level in the NBA gets laser focused about what we get paid to do. He goes, and then something like this happens, and who gives a rat's foot about baseball? I'm sorry, about basketball. He was like, I don't, basketball does not matter when this happens. He's like, it's unfathomable. You can't, I hope I said that right. And he goes, it's just, you can't even wrap your brain around it. He goes, and my heart goes out to him. Because he's like, well, there is nothing you can say. Which I thought was a class act on LeBron's part. Because it's like, what is he supposed to say?
Or, or if Barkley's back in the booth, all you say is what we're saying now. Like, I can't believe this happened. What a tragedy. He's overcoming this. He's, you know, just trying to play through all this pain. This is inspirational. Like, I can think of 8,000 things to say instead of,
I'm uncomfortable.
This is a bad look. I'm uncomfortable.
Well, we're sorry, Charles, that you're upset. Maybe if you got an elastic waistband instead of that suit you're wearing, you'd be a little more comfortable. And one less Pop-Tart.
It's just ridiculous.
It's a hateful mess. And to say, I don't know, because it was TNT that said the whole thing, and the entire thing was on TNT, and...
I just realized I didn't label it back on the bus, but we're putting Charles Barkley.
Oh yeah, Charles is back on the damn bus.
Back on the bus.
And what was even more precious is on the side, you know how the players do, I don't know if you are aware, but in the NBA they write little things on the side of their sneakers and stuff like that, and then TNT caught the shot where it on Thomas's little green high tops at the bottom. I shouldn't say little. He's an NBA player. His feet are massive. On the high tops, he wrote in pen, he wrote, China, RIP, little sis.
Oh, it's just...
And Saturday's date. And, I mean, just did what he could where he could, I suppose, because he knew he had to come to work. I just thought it was a class act. I really did.
It was a class act that he got on the court, and it was Charles Barkley sitting on the bus, driving the bus for his comments. Back on the bus. Anyway, so first round of the playoffs. Obviously, this is a long season ahead of us, but it is fun to catch a game or two in these early rounds to see some of these superstars. Like, we got Westbrook going against Harden in round one. That's going to be super fun. Harden won round one. Well, the Rockets are just better. OKC.
It was hard to watch there at the end.
Westbrook.
I turned on Homeland. I'm just binge watching it.
Yeah,
I love Carrie.
Favorite season. I love her. Okay. I love the show, but just a disappointing season.
Is it? I'm only on episode four. Okay,
it gets better.
Fans.
I cut out after season three.
Oh, because let me tell you something. This last season, which was Berlin, I thought that was a very good season.
Berlin was good. I have to say. It has been downhill since season one. Some peaks, but I feel like it's done. After the season, I was like, Berlin still had really fun moments.
And if they do something to my Quinn, because this season's upsetting me about my Quinn. Totally hard left, everybody. This is how much the playoffs were boring me. The Houston OKC game. Yeah. I was like, it was such a finished product that I was like, now's a good time to start binge watching.
and there's episodes coming up that are somewhat edge of the seat.
Okay, I'm starting five.
But Megan and I, my sister and I, did not enjoy the season because of the Peter Quinn storyline. I thought it was a terrible storyline because we love him.
Everybody loves Quinn. Everybody loves Quinn. That's what my husband even said. He goes, gay, straight, chickens, ducks, cats, because that's usually what I say.
Oh.
When I find somebody universally appealing, no matter who they are, be it aesthetic, be it personality, I go, gay, straight, chickens, ducks, cats. And my husband will be like, you're so ridiculous. And then last night, they were whatever scene we were on, and Quinn was just struggling. And he goes, I go, what's wrong? And he goes, oh, gay, straight, chickens, ducks, cats. He loves Quinn, and he was upset to see Quinn like that.
I know. So if some of the NBA gets boring, you can do Homeland. Or just jump ship and watch some playoff hockey. I say it every year. Here's another thing. Went out for drinks. I was actually in town on Friday. Went out for an early drink with a friend before I got on an early flight on Saturday. We're at a pub, like this like bar pub in Silver Lake. To the left of me, this sounds terrible. Like I'm not involved in any conversation. I was having a good time in both conversations all weekend. But the Rangers Canadians game was over her left shoulder through the upstairs part of the bar. Rangers are up by one. I think everything's fine because we beat the Canadians first game. All of a sudden, you can see the Canadians come down and score. Then it's overtime. And we hadn't seen each other while, so we're talking about this, we're talking about that. And she's like, well, then, you know, some relationship stuff came up. And I'm literally, it's overtime. Rangers, Canadians. And I'm like, why does this keep happening to me?
Spit all over the microphone. You need to start going to, you're like, you need to call ahead.
I can't make any plans. Like, I can't make any plans this time of year.
No, you can't. Or you need to call ahead and say, do you have a television? We can't come.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be, it needs to be coffee shops.
Yeah. I just only. Can't. I literally was like, what are the odds that I had the game taped. I watched the first period at my house, then I walked to meet her, right?
Okay.
So, but I was like, what are the odds that the Rangers Canadians are going to be on in this bar? It's not like a sports bar.
Sure.
And it's just on over her left shoulder as she's talking to me. And I'm like, I mean, because playoff hockey. And also there's just from doing that Canadian tour in the fall with my boy Graham Chittenden that lives in Toronto, he was telling me about all these young rookies, right? So they've got Connor McDavid, who's over in Edmonton. Then they've got this young kid, now I'm totally going to blank on his name, and Carol's not even here today because she blew it out during Easter.
Easter's her jam.
Do you know she fills her eggs with Kahlua?
I was trying to figure out what that residue was.
Yeah, she fills her eggs with Kahlua. She texted me this morning. She's like, I know you usually record at 1. It's 10. I'm not coming in. I'm like, all right, fine.
It's okay.
Fine.
By the way, one of my girlfriends does Jell-O shot Easter eggs.
Oh.
And I was like, that's what parenting does to you, huh?
Jell-O shot Easter eggs.
I goes, are those BPA-free Easter eggs to put your Jell-O in? And she was like, oh my God, I didn't even check, because that's all you have to do to these moms. You know, all the new mamas are like, BPA free, organic this. If you want to scare them for a half a second, just bring up any kind of a toxin.
Oh my God.
And I go, oh, are they BPA free eggs? She goes, oh my God, I didn't even check. I was like, oh, you better look into that.
Oh wow. Ways to bring down mothers.
Sorry.
That's awesome.
Side note, asterisk, scroll down. Fun for the parents who are getting high on BPA Jell-O shots.
Anyway, I highly encourage. I'm gonna start ODing because I find the hockey playoffs 10 times more exciting than the NBA playoffs. Until it gets to like, I'll start consistently watching. Well, I'll watch a myriad of different games. But when I'm talking watching the entire series, it probably won't be to the finals.
It's okay.
Or conference finals. But I tell you what, here's some a couple interesting storylines, and then we'll talk baseball. And then soccer. If you're, and again, this is opening round, so probably hockey fans are only watching your team. But hockey playoffs, do or die, it is really exciting stuff. And there's some new, like, faces of the league where in Toronto, in Edmonton, and then you've got Washington Capitals. Now, if the Rangers lose to Montreal, I'm all in with the Capitals because they consistently, they're the team that wins, like, the entire regular season and then has just eats it in the playoffs. So Ovechkin, I'm going to switch allegiances to the Capitals if the Rangers bow out.
I heard this weekend that, like, no one who has led the entire regular season wins has ever won a Stanley Cup.
It's crazy because they're literally the hands down the best team in hockey, and they won the first game in overtime, barely, lost the second game in double overtime.
They're the Kershaw of hockey.
It feels like it. Anyway, enjoy some hockey playoffs. I'm gonna go deep pretty soon. But great transition you saw Kersh pitch on Friday.
I saw Kershaw versus Greinke. First time.
So fun.
I got Rich Hill.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. Blister Hill.
Can we quick circle back to blisters?
Yes.
I went off about this. Like,
yes.
I can't handle it. I got two guys on the freaking DL because of blisters.
I know. We will circle back because I have
write down the word blister.
Blister.
All right. Talk to me about Kershaw Greinke.
Okay, because y'all know I still have a sweet spot in my heart for Greinke. I love Greinke. I think he went where the money was, and I think because he's not allegedly mentally as sound as he probably needs to be, I think that it has messed with him on levels. Like, yeah. he's not been the same. He got paid and has not been the same. And I feel like, too, and I know this sounds weird because all of the guys post-interview was very sweet. Everyone from the Dodgers had nothing but sweet things to say about Greinke. And I don't necessarily, I'm sure there is something in him that's like, those are my real friends. Like, yeah. There's got to be something there because you don't see that even amongst his own. And maybe that's just because, you know, there's a cobra on their uniforms and they don't look sweet. I don't know. They just don't look like they give a rat's foot about him. I went there. I don't know if it's his Diamondbacks. Look, Aaron's giving me the biggest
face. I'm sorry. I'm not an Arizona fan. I don't have to repeat it, but I got to one verbal altercation in my entire life at the Burbank Airport. This fucking Arizona fan screaming at him. We were screaming at each other.
What?
I had to be pulled on my plane by my ex-girlfriend. He started it. He was a piece of shit.
How do I not know this story?
I was screaming at, your colors are teal and purple. You have a pool in the center field. Like, I was... He brought up 9/11 and the fucking Yankee 2001 season, game 7, and I was like, my blood was, I had rage.
Oh, yeah,
I had rage in me at the Burbank airport.
That's grounds for rage.
Whatever.
Okay,
anyway,
fair
let's
enough.
Go back to something that's
a little less stressful.
So I have no time for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, I just feel like Greinke's not happy there. So,
yeah.
And his playing looked so. And I will say it was interesting, of course, you know, because he had to pitch to Kershaw at bat, and Kershaw had to pitch to him at bat. And Kershaw swung in the dust. I mean, I don't know where he was looking. It was Greinke, you know, had his number. It was one of those. It was just.
Let me ask you a quick question. When Greinke came out to pitch, how was the reception?
Booze. Now, I was there when he came back last year for the first time.
Oh, okay.
So last year when he came back as a Diamondback for the first time to pitch, I was there. He got a standing ovation.
Okay, good.
Standing ovation, and he even took his cap off, which was very sweet, because Greinke's a little bit of a head case, allegedly, as we all know.
No, it's documented.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I like to not, you know, maybe he's cleaned that act up, but yeah, it's been documented that he's not.
So tell me what makes him a head case?
He has social anxiety disorder.
Very bad.
Oh, okay.
He came up in Kansas City even.
Mm-hmm.
He had all this hype and promise.
And he gets in his own way a lot, unfortunately. And ironically, and like the crowd can mess with him. And they're not, I don't know if at Dodger Stadium, maybe we just don't like we could because he was one of ours. I genuinely don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if this, and Dodger Stadium to me, and I've not been to a ton, but I've been to quite a few ballparks. We tend to be, and I said it's probably because we're also on our damn devices and in the business. A lot of people are in the entertainment business, so I feel like as soon as we all are, cheer, and then everybody's back on their phone. Like, it's not a stadium where I feel like it's that constant roar.
No, it isn't.
I feel like people are like, okay, let me just check these four emails. Okay, no one's not hit yet. Like, it has that feeling at the park, which is an interesting vibe to me because... A lot of stadiums I've been to, there's that kind of hum of excitement, and I don't feel that Dodger Stadium has that. We get very quiet as a park. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. It's also very open air compared to some of
the parks. And it's huge, and we're huge. It's a huge stadium.
Compared to where he's playing now, like, for sure.
True.
Yeah.
So, people don't mess with him. Like, I thought they would in L.A., or maybe we just can't hear them, and they're not doing it in hives.
Yeah.
So, He only got booed when he came out on the initial boo, and then I forgot. I think it was Turner that got the first home run off of him on Friday night. I'm having to remember now because it was a great
the Keebler elf. Justin Turner.
Lucky Charms. He's the Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
I love him. He's magically delicious. Third base, Precious. He's just a fun. He's fun. And he, you know, got it off of him. And he did hit a home run. I don't remember if it was the first one or the second one, but he got a hit off because afterwards Lana Rizzo, who's our in-park announcer for, or on, I should say, Time, whatever they are on now, Spectrum, whatever the hell the...
Oh, God, yeah.
She's our home reporter, and she's great. So Lana Rizzo was interviewing JT after the game, Justin Turner, not Justin Timberlake. And she said, you know, how was it having a hit against Greinke? And she goes, well, you know, she's like... Greinke and I are really close. He goes, you know, we used to sit on the bench in the dugout, and I'd be like, what would you throw at me to get me out? He's like, we would talk about all the time the pitches he'd use to take me out.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, so he's one, I was just seeing if they were coming, you know? He goes,
oh, wow.
He goes, he's so good at what he does. It's just, he's like, I was like, oh, hell, okay, wait, let me remember what he said. He goes, because he's really one of my friends. And she said, that is such a nice thing to say. He goes, he can be wherever he wants to be, still, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
My people. And I thought it was such a class act, because pretty much as a whole it was said that way from the Dodgers organization. And when he'd thrown 100 pitches at the sixth. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. So he was just not having it. He was having a time of it.
Yeah, and also I just think, like, you know, it's fully loaded. It doesn't matter the start of the season. When you come back to a team that really was your home for so long, of course the emotions are probably... And it's Friday night, you're pitching against Kirsch.
Oh, Lord.
First of all, Kirsch is so... I know this is going to sound stupid and girly, but he is a dreamboat.
Oh, no, he's young.
He really is an
Gay
absolute...
Gay, straight, chickens, ducks, goats.
He really is... You know, I watched, and we'll come back to that, it's just a Kershaw thing. Last week it kind of turned for me, and I started really, really getting into baseball, which doesn't take that much. Probably because I'm not after March Madness, I'm not a huge NBA fan. I get excited about hockey playoffs, but, you know, that's short-lived.
Sure.
I'm getting more and more excited about the National Women's Soccer League. It's just that we don't have a team. LA doesn't have a team.
No.
I will get to, like, Home Depot Center. I'll get to, like, maybe, like, one or two if I travel this summer, but... and then I'll get really into the WNBA, right?
Sure.
But I really started getting super pumped about baseball last week, and I had watched the raising of the banner in Chicago last Monday night.
Yeah, that was...
We had recorded that morning, but I watched, it was like 5 o'clock LA time, and then the Cubs raising the banner, and it was like an hour rain delay. It was like the worst weather ever against the Dodgers.
Against the Dodgers.
And I kind of felt bad because, the whole point is... It's like 20 below.
Yes.
The weather turned like at
it's
3
Chicago
o'clock that
Lake
day.
Yes.
Yeah. And all the teams are kind of lined up. And Kirsch has short sleeves. He wasn't pitching. He just was in short sleeves. And the commentators were like, someone get Kershaw like a jacket. He's just like sitting there like, he's just like such a dude.
He's a country boy.
Yeah.
To this day, I mean, when my husband does drag me to the stadium early enough, and it does happen for batting practice, like, we're going to be called in to help. I don't know why. Anytime he gets us there for BP, I'm like, are you worried about, they're going to call you in for something? Like, your utility? I don't know. But Kershaw drives this, like, red pickup truck, you guys. Like, he's freaking Clayton Kershaw. And he rolls up in this, like, F-150. It's probably, it probably ran him 35,000. I'm not even going to go 40 unless he's got some secret super, you know, thing in there. I don't.
Yeah, if he sprung for the Bose.
Yeah, if he's, and maybe the sky, like,
what's
an extra.
Bose
surround sound.
Oh, Bose, I'm sorry. He's a good one. He's just a good one.
And anytime he gets like he has a first couple pitches squirrely, I always go, somebody needs to get me Ellen's number, his wife. I'm like, because those babies are keeping him up. I get very worried that she's not, like, on them kids when he's got a pitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, Ellen, you've got to get maybe, like, a nanny bed in that room. It's like, I've completely designed how their house looks in my mind because they're precious and they're the cutest little family. And, you know, in his off season, he goes and does drinking water for children in Africa. I mean, you want to, you literally... Okay. I say all the time to my brother, because he's got two little white children, as you'd suspect. and if you want to raise a white athlete, you need to raise them to be a baseball player. Because if you're not really, I mean, number one, I would like the least amount of contact, if you will.
Yeah.
Coming towards my nephews, and not really basketball players. they're tall-ish, and they're going to be taller. But to me, it's got the best union.
Yep.
This is where I'm getting at.
100%.
And Again, he's got little white children, so they're not going to excel in sports like my brother thinks. He's like, they're going to be. I'm like,
I can see, you know, as a New Yorker, like kind of in LA now, like I have a fondness for sure, you know, more so than I would say, like, you know, any other team.
Because your allegiance is with New York. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
And number two is probably going to be the Mets. Just, you know,
of course.
Born and raised. But, you know, the pull to the Dodgers, I'm always like, okay, like, yeah, I don't mind the Dodgers, you know? But then when you go to the game, it's always, at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is there's always going to be a couple of players that pull you into whatever team it is.
1,000%.
And now that it's in my backyard, I love going to Dodger games. Kershaw's the real draw, you know, for me.
There's real role models. Yeah. Even Agon. I adore Agon.
Yeah,
Adrian Gonzalez is a class act. He is a consistent human being.
Yeah.
He adores the fans. He's kept, I don't even know the name of the little sweet song that he plays. It's some little Mexican-esque, mariachi-esque, pardon me, it might be Mexican. It's a mariachi-esque song.
Yeah.
And it's sweet, and he keeps it as his walk-up song because the fans get so excited when they hear the first three bars of da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na. I mean, people get, you know, it's Agon. And he came to us from where, Boston, I believe?
Boston. Right? Yeah, that crazy
and
trade,
from the moment we got him, he just embraced Los Angeles, and they gave it right back. And he's just a class act.
So
you're right, there are some Dodgers. Even Dave Roberts, who used to play for the Dodgers, manager of the year, amazing. I think the tone that man sets in that locker room is just, they are all class acts. Where Mattingly, I don't know about him as personally. I don't know anything. I don't know what that personality situation was. But the tone now, even with the rookies, I mean, you look at Seager and Jock Peterson, but most especially Corey Seager, that child.
No, he's going to be so fun to watch. Yeah.
I mean, Kyle Seager is a rock star anyway, I think, being up at the Mariners. I think his brother is an amazing player.
So good.
I think as a family, that family gets kudos for raising just quality humans.
Yeah.
But as a organization, something has shifted with the Dodgers where everybody just functions at this classy level. Even Puig the other night, 3-run homer, and just no bat flip. Runs the waited. It was really interesting because my husband's like sick with food poisoning. He's like, "Why he should be taken off?" I'm like, "Taken off? Why was he going? It's either going to be a home run or foul. So he's not.
Yeah.
He's not taking off." And Dave goes, "Like, 'cause normally my husband's the king of. He thinks he's, you know, a scout." And I was like, "He goes, oh yeah, okay." I was like, "Get your food poisoning." But even Puig has cleaned up, acted right pregame. He goes and hugs little children and takes all the fan photos when they're doing the lineup.
Well, I mean, that starts at the top, and that's Dave Roberts, you know.
Class
and I
just
say Agon too. I mean, I think that was such a good fit for the Dodgers because a huge percentage of fans is Mexican American.
He fit pretty well in San Diego.
I'm going to give a Peaches update, and then Aaron's got a Cardinals story. The Peaches killed it last week. I don't even think I introduced the Peaches formally. We'll do a quick Peaches.
Let's do it.
Molina behind the plate.
Yeah.
Chris Davis, Baltimore Orioles first base. D. Gordon. Well, I have a couple. We'll do it by position real quick. Molina behind the plate, so everyone out there can start cheering for these players. And then my first basemen are Chris Davis from the Orioles and Greg Bird for the Yankees. Now, Bird was on fire preseason, and now he's 3-for-3 last night. Thank you, Cardinals.
Sure.
Second baseman, D. Gordon, doesn't have any steals. He has, like, 2 steals. I literally drafted him first just for steals. He needs to get running, D. Gordon. Backup Neil Walker, asterisk, scroll down. If he starts even, if he's even a little bit more shaky... I wanted to get Logan Forsythe because of the Rays.
Sure, sure.
And now Dodgers. My sweet Manny Machado, having a rough start, but he's going to pick it up. Just hit home run last night. Using Mancini, his rookie, Mancini, Orioles, everyone started using his bat. It was a really cute story. Mancini's like, I just read this. Mancini's like this rookie for the Orioles, right? He's been hitting a whole bunch of home runs. Not Shoop. Another Oriole player picked up Gentry, picked up his bat. This all happened in like the 8th inning yesterday or the 6th inning. Gentry picks up one of Mancini's bats, hits a 2-run home run. Machado picks up one of Mancini's bats, hits a 2-run home run.
Stop.
That was yesterday. Sweet baby Schwarber Parker, because he can see the ball. Piscotty in the outfield, yeah. Schwarber in the outfield. Ramirez, who I was so psyched to get this guy, came out of nowhere in the Indians last year. The reason why he's so great in fantasy is he registers at third base, second base, and outfield now. Killing it. Mazzara, my pickup at 4 a.m. Yep. on a plane from last summer. There was a stat in the draft as we completed the draft of, like, people that... It was just, like, this nerdy stat. And my percentage, the percentage of me picking up Mazzara when I did, and every other league, like, he was, like, six rounds later, he's been on fire.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Cain, outfield. Aaron Judge, outfield. Alex Gordon, outfield. Backup shortstop, Asdrubal Cabrera, who's been killing it for the Mets. The Peaches had the best offensive week of anyone last week. You know, we never hit. The last two seasons has always been about pitching.
Yes.
But my Peaches have been hitting. All right, quick rundown of pitchers. Bumgardner, Fulmer for Detroit, Jansen in relief, Pineda, who killed it again last night on the mound for the Yankees. The Twins closer, Kitzler. He needs to get more saves. That's going to be hard. Cobb. Mike Leake, Cardinals. Mm-hmm. That was a pickup. McCarthy.
Yes.
He's pitching tonight.
Yes, he is.
So, and, you know, he was my sweet Yankee before.
Yes, he was. We enjoy him.
And then we've got a couple bubbles. Trevor Bauer, who I love. Not a great start to the season. I think he needs to get it together. And Waka. Yeah. I hope.
Waka.
And I got Aaron Sanchez. I had to let go of Garrett Richards. I hope to get him back. He's just not pitching for a number of weeks because of a bicep injury. And Aaron Sanchez is on the DL right now with a blister. These blisters.
You can't pitch with them.
Look, they asked Rich Hill. My Rich Hill. I say my, like I birthed him at the Dodgers. When Rich Hill's on, he's on.
Yeah.
They're like, Rich Hill, what the mother truck with these blisters? Because they pulled him the other night after, like, what, third inning? Wasn't that what it was? I mean, it felt like it was pretty quick.
It was middle of fourth, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
But, quick, I mean, they're quick. All, Hill's on the DL with the blister. Sanchez had a blister issue. I got talked out of, this is my fault, but I got talked into Sanchez. Not a bad pick because he's a phenomenal pitcher.
Sure,
so
sure.
It wasn't like a really, but I had, it's one of these things where you just, if... Because I'm going to do it one more year. Next year,
can we
sometimes
get you,
have
a less? What, remember, sweet John Ryan. John Ryan was on a less aggressive.
Yes,
can we?
I know.
Can
I
we
should,
move
maybe
you
I should
to
get on a less aggressive.
Just something less aggressive, so that you don't feel consumed.
I know. I had two gut instincts. Is that something? Go with your gut.
Yeah,
like
sure,
just go
sure.
with your gut. And I didn't. And those two were Dallas Keuchel. God, I always mispronounce that.
Yeah.
And I got talked out of Dallas Keuchel, and I just had this feeling, he's doing phenomenal. And I wanted Marcus Stroman over Sanchez. And Sanchez is going to recover, I'm sure he'll have a good season. But I just like Marcus Stroman.
It's okay.
And I like Keuchel.
And look what's happening.
And if I had to go back, now listen, they could also get 17 blisters and have shit seasons. But I think it was a lesson of going with your gut. And they had lesser, you know, stats and outcomes and whatever. But sometimes you just gotta go with your gut. Trish, I want you to hear Aaron's theory and why the Cardinals aren't playing well.
Ready, Aaron.
Okay, so game one against the Cubs, Carlos Martinez starts. He's our new ace.
Okay.
After last season, he's surpassed Wainwright. As much as it hurts my heart to say it, he is pitching better.
Okay.
Perfectly fine game. Should have won it. Bullpen almost blows it, but we luckily, Grichik saves our lives. We win. His next start, he has navy blue hair extensions.
Martinez?
Carlos Martinez. Yes.
You have to Google this. Google image Carlos
Please
Martinez.
Keep talking.
Right now.
All look it up. He has to get a bigger hat to fit said navy blue hair extensions. Has not pitched well since. And I don't think the defense respects him. Behind him. There's an energy about it. It's weird.
He looks terrible.
It's so stupid.
I don't, but why?
Why?
Wait.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you know.
Wait, is this it? These
days? Yeah.
I don't even know if they're navy blue. They're more like a gray. Was this for the World Baseball? Did he play in World Baseball?
But not with those.
No, these are new hair extensions.
He did not have those in game one. So it's like either start the season with them or...
Yeah. Listen, if he has another couple games where he's not doing well, those extensions have to go.
Oh, I'd lance him now if I was on the team.
I like that you used the word lance with hair extensions.
By the way, are y'all watching Brockmire?
Yes.
What do you think?
It's great.
It's pretty cute.
Is it good? I haven't seen it.
It's okay. You know, it just made me think of if it's working, keep it up. If it's not, it's got to go.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, you know, baseball players are the most superstitious in the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And all of a sudden, now you have something tickling the back of your neck.
Yeah.
That you haven't had at all.
I completely agree with this. I agree. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not a Cardinals fan, but now I have a whole bunch of Cardinals on my peaches. So I have to, now I watch, they're on my radar more than ever, which is fun. That's what makes fantasy baseball fun, because now you've got all these teams and players on your radar that you never would kind of cheer before. Does it turn you into a psychopath? It does.
Yes.
However, I agree wholeheartedly with this theory.
It's pretty solid.
Put in hair extensions when everything's going well. They're disgustingly ugly. I think it is probably totally distracting for players behind him.
Yeah.
And I agree with this 100%.
And he's pitching bananas ever since.
Yeah.
I mean, he's three innings against the Yankees.
Yeah.
He had six walks, eight strikeouts.
Yeah, because...
Like it's all over the place.
Nothing good happens after the phrase "tickling the back of your neck."
Ah,
yeah.
No, absolutely, absolutely
who knows
nothing.
Hair that is?
Who knows?
What hair is that?
Not a good look, as Charles Barkley would say.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's when you appropriately use "not a good look."
Not a good look.
Whereas Andrew McCutchen hasn't played the same without his.
No,
I agree.
He is.
Those were legit.
He grew those. Literally went the other way after he cut his hair.
Yeah.
Didn't he cut his hair because he was getting married?
Yeah. No, I think he did.
No, it was
for charity.
Yeah, oh, it was a charity. I thought it was someone with long hair promised his wife that he'd cut it off before they got married. All right, well, charity. But yeah, he's kind of a dog in it. All right, so we're approaching the end. So
we did. Your Yankees played my Cardinals, and you swept us. And
yep, I have to say,
it was seeing Holiday though.
Love seeing Holiday.
Aaron's going through it over there.
Yeah.
He really is.
And also, it was really fun. I was Tom Poppin family last week, yesterday at Easter. I flew in, came to the airport, and we had dinner. And it was like such a fun New York thing, because we're all from New York. We always have holidays together. And then we just sat on the couch and watched Cardinals, you know, heralded historic team, you know, Cardinals, Yanks.
The number one and number two World Series winningest team.
It was just fun. It was like a really sweet way to end the weekend. And then I saw the girls finale, and I love that show. I was disappointed. But anyway, all right, let's talk about real quick. We'll do, because it just started, I just want to get some information about the National Women's Soccer League. And then our feel-good moment of the week ties in with Patriots Day that's happening in Boston, a Boston Marathon, and we'll close with that. If you're, you know, a soccer fan, this league started a couple years ago. It's getting better and better. So I just wanted to kind of get some information out, and we'll put it on Facebook, and we'll start doing, clips and stuff on Instagram. It's the summer league, just sort of like the, you know, WNBA, National Women's Soccer League. And it's in Houston, Kansas City, Portland, North Carolina. Just the Western New York team moved to the Raleigh-Durham area. Another reason that I'm obsessed with Durham.
Great city.
Great city. Now it's host to the North Carolina Courage, which is, I don't know, that's awesome that they have a women's professional team now.
Soccer has become huge in the South, which growing up for me, it was not a thing at all. Like until I moved to New Jersey from freshman year of high school, I had never seen anybody play soccer.
Yeah, it's
male
exciting.
Or female, and now it's really sweeping.
Yeah, so we've got North Carolina's got a team now. We've got Seattle, New Jersey, Washington, Boston, Chicago, and Orlando.
Oh.
And Orlando just picked up Marta from Brazil.
What?
Alex Morgan's playing overseas right now. There's a whole bunch of superstars playing overseas, so they're going to miss the first couple weeks. But when Alex Morgan comes back, she was traded to Orlando, so they'll have Marta and Alex Morgan playing for Orlando, which is going to be fantastic. And then, of course, you've got, you know, all your superstars. Like, if you're in Portland, the Portland Thorns, they're the number one supported team. I mean, those games sell out. But anyway, if you anywhere around those cities or you live in those cities, it just started. They've just been playing. I think they're maybe one game in. Look out for that, and we'll put the information out on Twitter and Facebook. But it's a fantastic, you know, they're affordable. Just seeing all these superstars. They're also, like, not only U.S. women's professional, you know, national team players, but there's just Europeans, you know, Mexico, South America, all these superstars from globally are mixed on these teams, and it's super fantastic. So a shout out to the Women's Soccer League kicking off the summer, and I'm going to travel. Well, when I'm in New York City, I'll catch a Jersey game, but we gotta start doing summer travel. We've got Portland Pickles.
I can't wait to do the Portland Pickles. I will be in Tennessee in July. A lot of July, I'm gonna be in my old Kentucky home and in Tennessee working with the Country Cool Girls. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yes, that'll be fun. I don't know what we've got in Chattanooga, but I'll be in Chattanooga and Knoxville and Bristol.
You can take a road trip to North Carolina? Is that
no,
too far?
Yeah, that's tedious. But, and then... I'm going to go in November to Virginia. Virginia Beach has a local. They have a minor league baseball team. And I forgot. They've got a fun name, like the Waves or something fun.
It's just fun to go when you travel to see, like, whatever and whatever team is playing. All right. This is going to bring us out into the feel-good moment of the week. Patriots Day in Boston, which is one of just an epically fantastic day for the city of Boston. You've got... you know, the Boston Marathon, you've got an early Red Sox game. And of course, now every year since the terrible, horrible attack a couple years ago, it's more and more meaning and more special. Here's a couple nerdy facts before we get into Feel Good Moment of the Week. And this kind of leads us right in because it's about this fantastic story around the marathon. Historically, Patriots Day marks the anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord, the first battles of the American Revolutionary War.
The shots heard around the world.
I forgot. Like, I just, when I think about Patriots Day, I was like, oh yeah, Revolutionary War. I literally just go Boston Marathon early Sox game. That's like, literally, I was like, oh, that's right. It does have a lot of history behind it. But anyway, Red Sox have scheduled to play at Fenway Park every Patriots Day since 1959.
Wow.
11 a.m. start time beginning in 1968. The early start time assures fans at the baseball game they'll get early enough in the city to cheer on the Boston Marathon runners. I love Patriots Day. I love it. I love the Boston Marathon. It's, you know, Fenway Park is one of the, you know, the best ballparks in America. And
wouldn't it be great if, like, in the sixth inning, the marathon just runs through the outfield?
Oh, my God. They open the doors, and they go cut right through, and they keep going.
They come
going.
Through the monster, past the pesky pole.
I love that idea. Why not? Just mix all events into one. And then Catherine Switzer,
yes!
who we highlighted a couple weeks ago, she, you know, was the first woman to run in the Boston Marathon in 1967. She's running it 50 years later. She is 70.
And then she's famously 261. She was raced, as we discussed, this whole great, and there's the great 30 for 30, the SC featured. I actually think it's an SC featured, not a 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Wonderful story about her, and she's running it, and they are officially retiring the bib number 261 from the Boston Marathon.
So awesome.
After this, which I thought, how, I got a cold chill, because can you imagine through the years, male or female, if you got number 261, how special for the last 50 years that's been to get that bib number?
And so this is all happening right now on Patriots Day. And, of course, I don't know how I'm going to get through this story without absolutely crying.
Aaron sent me this, and I got instantly choked up. Friday night when we were at the Dodger game, the person that threw out the first pitch was this little boy who was the first hand transplant. He had a double hand transplant.
Wow.
And I'm going to say he was about 10 or 11 years old. And also he was born with no hands and no feet. No legs. So he was on, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm sorry, prosthetics for his legs, but he had he was a double hand amputee.
Oh my God.
And he went out, he was in his wheelchair and they were going to wheel it out and he shook his head no. And he stood up.
Oh my God.
And walked out to the mound.
Oh.
Oh my God.
And he asked if he could throw to Puig. And so Puig came out, and Puig jumped when he got out the chair. And so the little boy walks out to the mound, and he kicked the dust off the mound.
Oh, my God. Oh. I'm going to lose my mind.
And the whole place was a mess. And Puig came up. He was obviously at home plate. Puig scooted forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And motioned to the little boy to just step to the front of the mound a little bit.
Yeah,
he was like,
yeah.
And that little boy just, I mean, got dialed in.
Oh!
And that whole.
Oh, my God. This is another feel-good moment of the week.
I'm so sorry. I meant to tell you this. Dave and I kept saying this. We could have left. Yeah. We didn't have to watch Granky Kershaw. And Kershaw, who's sitting back to his arm wrapped, who normally is very dialed in, honey, walked up forward and watched the. Kershaw, who doesn't pay attention to anything pregame, he's very focused. He turned around with his arm wrapped and everything, and just went over and leaned with his one arm, so his pitching arm wrapped, and just watched that little boy. And Puig scooted in for the catch, and that little boy got serious and just chucked it in. And I mean, the stadium erupted.
I can't even.
It was one of those moments. And then he did, it's time. He got to do both. He got to the first pitch, and it's time for Dodger baseball.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
And he was precious. And Dave and I are both like, my gosh. And he was just joyful. Joyful. It was infectious. And that, so I was hysterical. And this made me feel,
it's a tie.
The story made me feel
the same
way.
I'm so glad you told us that story. That's awesome. Well, that is a tie for the feel good moment of the week. I don't know how you outdo someone with two hand transplants and prosthetic legs and throwing out the first pitch. So
it was not an outdo. It just really genuinely made me.
No, that's amazing.
Like, watch what you complain about this week,
exactly.
Y'all. That's all I got to say.
I pulled this story because it's one of these things where a tragedy happens and you turn it around and do something like amazingly positive. And I love those stories. And also because it's absolutely, the timing couldn't be better because it's about running the Boston Marathon. So the story is siblings, Peter, Kate, and Charlotte. I hope I'm pronouncing their last name. Cipolletti. They've never run the marathon before, but they are all going to run the Boston Marathon today in honor of their sister that passed away. She was born with a heart defect. The parents were like, we didn't even think, you know, she was going to survive the initial heart operation when she was a little kid. It's a family of 12, 10 siblings. So everyone's like super close.
Amazing.
She passed away. In 2010, they said, the doctor said, thought was a heart attack. And then gets into a freak car accident 6 weeks later, dies in her sleep. So it's obviously all, you know, they couldn't exactly figure out what was wrong. But for them, they she did sort of die unexpectedly at the age of 24. And so these three of the siblings kind of rallied around her in her honor. And some of the, you know, some of the quotes were unbelievable. I'm just going to read some of this. One of the parents said, we weren't supposed to have her. We weren't supposed to have 24 years. We were supposed to have her for a year. So that's a huge thing for us. Emmy is a gift. If we can give kids like her the gift of life, that would be incredible. And that's why we wanted to run. So these three siblings got together, and they are not runners. And this is what part of the story where I absolutely love. They're saying before they started training for the marathon and started raising all this money, I'm just going to read this. After feeling like a 3-mile run used to be a huge accomplishment, they'll be at the starting line April 17th today, running as part of the Boston Children's Hospital Miles for Miracles team. They have already raised $47,000 for cardiac research and awareness, hope to reach $60,000 before Marathon Monday. If that's not enough, apart from raising money for Miles for Miracles, the siblings also raised $50,000 for Emmy's Angels in her honor, a charity they launched for cardiac research. And it says, although they were contributing for Miles for Miracles, they wanted to physically involved in some way. They came across the Miles for Miracles. She pitched it to her siblings. And they went on through rigorous training during the Boston winter, but found a way to heal during the process. Quote, running the Boston Marathon made perfect sense because it's so much history and it's so much bigger than ourselves. Emmy's heart condition and her passing means something, and we wanted to represent something bigger than our family. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So all the money, I love this story for so many different reasons. Obviously, it's siblings. We're all close with our families. a tragic thing happens in your family. You decide through sport to raise all this money, and the charity everyone should get involved in, especially in your, I know there's, I think what I also love about the Boston Marathon is there's so many charity stories, I think above maybe any other marathon, and the Boston Children's Hospital. So get involved, Miles for Miracles team. They're raising all this money. And non-runners, three non-runners training in the Boston winter, which is, as you all know, is a shit show, to run 26.1 miles for the charity, for their sister's honor.
So good.
I mean,
when I read it this morning, I had snot. Like, I know, it's like, the literally initial snot. As soon as you read something like that, and then you're a family of 10, and just a testament to how they raised that family, too.
Yeah.
Just so good.
I just love it. Like, you have these days, of course, where you're like, oh, my God, I can't get out of bed. This happened or whatever. But you can be inspired by anything. It doesn't have to be a tragedy. But the fact that they lost their sister, they're not runners. They train for a marathon, which seems inconceivable. And putting all this goodwill and energy into, you know, trying to, you know, honor their sister. And then the 60 grand for Miles for Miracles team for the Children's Hospital. Yay! The Cipolletti family, congratulations. That is so inspiring and amazing, and way to produce the feel-good moment of the week. And I'll be looking for them because we'll get all the results of the marathon later today. But gotta love Patriots Day and the city rallying together as they always do. On Patriots Day. That's the only day I cheer for the Red Sox. I'm not going to lie.
I love you.
But of course, I will cheer for them. That is it.
Girl.
That is the show. Watch the NBA, NHL, women's soccer. We got WNBA coming up in a couple months. All lots of great things coming up.
So many exciting things.
Hollywood Today Live for you, Miss Trish.
I will be on there this week, yes.
Yay.
That's right. And of course, trishsir.com, which I just redid my website. Y'all go on and check that excitement out. Yay, I know it needed a facelift. Erin K. Foley, where's everybody going to find you?
I'll be in LA for 2 weeks, which is fantastic.
That's a big deal.
So I'll do all kinds of fun local shows. Then I'll be in Cancun working with my gay boys, Atlantis Events.
How do I not go? I go up dressed like a Phyllis Diller. How am I not with a bunch of magical gays in Cancun? I was born to do that. I'm like their fun aunt.
I know. It is a gig that has made up for every shit gig for 17 years being on the
road.
Where
are you at in Cancun? Boat.
No, it's at a resort. It's just wherever the Atlantis like resort is. I haven't done it in like 4 years and I love it because you just do a couple shows and all the guys are so fun. And
I need to get on that. As soon as we hang up this show, I'm going to make that happen.
Oh my God, that would be a dream. You and I performing together in Cancun, please.
Please.
Anywhere, quite frankly.
Yes, please.
Erin K. Foley.com. It's got tour dates and too much information. Sports Without Balls Instagram.
Oh, yes. You go to @sports.balls. I'm on it, y'all. I'm posting.
Oh, my God.
I took it over. Thank God. So thank y'all for following us and so many fun comments. You guys rock. We appreciate you so much.
And go on iTunes and leave a 5-star review. We will say it on the show. I hope Martinez cuts his hair for you.
If he doesn't, I will.
Oh, wow.
That's happening.
I
own a broadsword.
Oh, wow.
I'm bringing it.
That's the hydrocodone talk in America.
Oh, my God. Erin is still fucked up on the drugs. He's going to sword Martinez's hair off.
That's happening.
Boy, I can't wait for that.
That's
everybody, enjoy yourselves out there. And Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family, have the best week of your life.